Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. Ha! Mr. Benny Mathers, how are you?
Yes, doing very well. Officially spring.
I know.
Feeling good?
It has sprung.
Yeah. Well, today and a little bit of last night, spring showers. And you know what that means?
Spring shower. Let's see. Spring Mayflowers.
Hey,
no, that's not right. April showers, spring Mayflowers. Yeah. Thank you. I had to really think about that. I like it. I like it. Yeah, the weather. Oh, my goodness. Last weekend, St. Patty's Day. I know.
Couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better.
Really, really
did you get out there and have a little a frosty beverage and green in nature, or
I did. I saw some family and I also met up with some friends and we had Guinness.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, my girl. High five.
And red beef and cabbage.
You know,
hairy bacon is really correct for Irish, but we'll go with the corned beef and cabbage. And, you know, people that understand that.
We didn't have too much of the celebration, but I was craving, though, some bangers and mash. I still might have to get some this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. Well, Well, we got a lot happening in the skies.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Benny.
Are we feeling it?
Yeah, I'm okay. Feeling it. Are you?
A little bit.
How's your energy? Has your energy been up or down?
It's been pretty good. I think it started out a little slow. Mellowing out, so to speak, by this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just looking forward to a great weekend and to hear from our guest today.
She's going to be great. Mm-hmm. So stick around. You're definitely going to hear from her.
Yeah.
So let me get started I am the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area for going on 30 years, honestly. And I have Temple of the Divine Feminine. My monthly class for women is coming up this Saturday, just in a couple of days, March 23rd. It's going to be a fantastic gathering of women. And you can join me either in person or via Zoom. That's how we do it. And then it is Palm Sunday. And good heavens, Easter is next Sunday. So much happening. So we are right now, last couple of days, going through the spring equinox, which is one of the most powerful and magical days of the year. We welcomed the start of the astrological new year, which begins with Aries, as well as the equinox. And the energy grid of the planet has come alive as we celebrate equal hours of day and night, the beginning of spring. And now the days are starting to get a little longer here in the northern hemisphere. And yes, we did have the time change. And yes, we could talk about that, but let's move forward. And with the Aries season beginning, the energy of fresh starts is strong, encouraging us to begin anew and wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, get out of here. Woo,
yeah, get out of there.
Let's do it.
Ooh, open the doors and windows. Just throw it out, you know? Thanks, Betty. I do that all the time.
That's what I want. When I open the doors, that's what I expect.
I was actually working with someone the other day. I said, could you open the doors and windows of your mind, like all the way around, and just let air flow through there and clean that out, right?
Yeah,
you
know? Well mentioned.
So we might be cluttery up there. It's just an idea.
Spring cleaning.
That's right, spring cleaning. So as we start this new astrological year, and oh man, so much going on in the sky. I'll just briefly touch on some things. It's a power time to set goals and intentions for the new cycle ahead. And so today, I think it's March 21st, I think that's correct. Venus, that planet of love, and Saturn, daddy karma, came together in Pisces, deep emotional Pisces, for a deep and meaningful conjunction. A really important conversation. It's a time to get real with how we are feeling. We need to take a practical approach when it comes to matters of the heart and perhaps step up and take responsibility for our actions and our current situation. And remember that with this Aries energy coming in, you will have the ability to act upon things and maybe, you know, like I said, clean it up, you know, go in a different direction. Tomorrow, Friday, March 22nd, Mars enters the dreamy sign of Pisces, helping to bring a softening to any tense or heightened emotions. And while we can use this energy to activate our calm it can sometimes lead to sluggishness or lack of motivation. So what am I saying? Here the energy is pushing and here the energy is falling back. So good heavens, you know, allow yourself to flow. I often have people talk to me about the fact they don't feel like doing anything and then they feel guilty about it. And I'm going, well, you know, there's that fine line in between being and doing, but sometimes we do just need to, you know, lay down on the bed for 3 years and take care of it, right? On Monday, big energy is coming up, March 25th, full moon, lunar eclipse in Libra launches us into the most powerful eclipse season. I mean, it's crazy, and it's building on the eclipse season of last year. The theme for this eclipse is all about our relationships and the power dynamics within them. We might find ourselves needing to release or do away with power struggles or relationship dynamics that are making us feel powerless. Wow, our guest is really here on the right day, because this is a lunar eclipse and a south node eclipse in Libra, and it does seem that an ending is going to occur. Now, this ending could be a big one. It could also be subtle and like the ending of a thought pattern or a dynamic that isn't serving you. Relationships will be highlighted, like I said. Where have we given too much? Where have we not received enough? Libra helps us step into compassion and see things from other viewpoints. But the Aries North Node will help us find a better boundary and stand up for ourselves or step away from the old pattern of imbalance. So eclipses are always a highly transformative time. So chances are that this period and leading into the upcoming solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th, it's going to bring big changes. It's going to be shifts. And please, please grab a hold of that in a hopeful way. Whenever I tell people change is coming, they're like, oh my goodness, what do you mean? And I go, we don't always have to be, you know, we could embrace change. Maybe we want it. Maybe it's very, very good for us. And the big word right now for everybody is detox. If you ever do detoxes, now is the time to do it. Great time to clean the liver out, you know, do a little, you know, parasite cleanse or some sort of general cleanse, you know. One of my favorite cleanses is super easy. It's the Master Cleanse, and it's been around for a long, long time. And so as spring gets here, the body also needs to renew itself. So we are in this time of really bringing in a different type of equilibrium. And I just want to say this, when everything is being brought into equilibrium with the energies of the upcoming eclipses, eclipse in Libra, eclipse in Aries, they are the north and south nodes. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. These energies are bringing about personal and planetary changes that once we go through these doorways, they will close behind us and we will never be able to open them again. So this is a time to pay attention. By the way, the next time we revisit the same eclipse cycle will be in October. So it's likely that whatever is coming up in March and April will only be part of the story. And we might have to wait until October of 2024. That's this. Or even March of 2025 to experience the last eclipses in this big series of eclipses and get the big picture. That makes me just sort of exhale a little bit. So in that energy of fire and power and hope and faith, and don't you think there are some things we need to change? We're in the age of Aquarius. We're entering into this age of community, of support, and we just need to do things in a different way. The healing begins with itself, moves out from there. My guest today, I'm so excited to have her, and I really want you to get to know her, Meredith Heller. She's a poet, an author, a singer-songwriter, that'll do it, an avid nature lover, an educator with degrees in writing and education. She teaches workshops at schools, women's prisons, the Institute for Poetic Medicine, the Kennedy Center for the Arts, the National Association for Poetry Therapy, wellness retreats, creativity summits, and online. Her passion, she'll tell you more about it, is empowering women to believe in themselves, trust their creative instincts, tap their wild wisdom, express their truth, and ignite their hearts. Da, 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 there it is. Her, oh, Her poems and essays appear in numerous literary magazines and collections. She's the author of Writing by Heart, A Poetry Path to Healing and Self-Discovery, Write a Poem, Save Your Life, and 3 poetry collections. And like I said, she leads writing workshops online, in prison, at schools, juvenile detention centers, women's prisons, wellness retreats. Meredith, what an honor and a joy to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Loretta.
Yeah, thanks for listening through all that astrology. There's just so much going on.
Oh, are you kidding? I got it all. I was taking notes. It's great.
Yeah.
Totally, what's happening.
You are exactly here, exactly on time. So I loved your book. I love your book. It's really well put together. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want people to get to know you. I want them to get your flavor, right? I really do. Tell us a little bit about you. How did you get into writing? When did you get into it? Mm-hmm. And yeah, introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. So what I like to explain is that poetry, and I love how you said I'm a song singer writer or whatever that was. That was great. Poetry and music found me. And I think this is so true for so many creatives. Yes, it's a choice to follow the path, but it calls us out. It chooses us first. So I started writing songs and writing short stories when I was very young. But when it really coalesced into my path was when I was a young teenager. So I left home at about 12, 13 years old and raised myself living out in domes that I built in the woods along the Potomac River in Maryland, 20 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. I lived in domes I built. I lived in old barns. I lived in abandoned houses. And 12, 13 years old, on my own, trying to figure out how to live, how to navigate life and my emotions. I was very alone. I suffered with horrible depressions. I was overwhelmed with life and responsibility, and all my friends were dying of suicide and drug overdose, and I wasn't far behind them. And poetry found me. I would get the first line of poetry or song in my left ear like a lifeline, like a work permit. An invitation to stay here and find the words and the shape and the container that allowed me to make sense of and hold the overwhelming feelings of loss and longing and desperation and this deeper need to create meaning. Mm-hmm. In a society and a culture that seemed to override a more soulful way of being in relationship with myself and the world. So that's how poetry found me. And I talk a lot more about that in the first book, Write a Poem, Save Your Life, where I tell kind of the iceberg of the story. And then how, over the years, it became clear to me that this is my path, you know, like another one of these things where what happens isn't the obstacle isn't bad. The obstacle is the path. It's the doorway. It's the opportunity. And so I took this opportunity and said, wow, this is my passion. This is my purpose. This is what I've come here to share. And then I became a poet in the schools for 30 years, and now I work with women. And so that's how poetry found me.
You know, I'm a musician, and I play the piano, and the piano saved my life.
Right.
So I got chills
when you said that, so that I know that's true.
I understand exactly what you said. There's this way that we need to express the inexpressible or the, you know, like we're going to talk more like what is poetry, but we'll get there in a minute. But like, for instance, you can say, I love you, or you can say something like, my heart will always carry you in the deepest as part of myself or something. Do you see what I mean? Like there's this need to express that so deeply. And I get that.
I really love what you're saying. Yeah, it's interesting. So right now I'm teaching a workshop called Spark the Muse. And that's exactly what we're working on. This moment when we're moved so deeply by love, by joy, by sorrow, by anger, whatever it is that moves us to the point where we can no longer hold it.
Yeah.
And we get in touch with that urge to spill open into creativity. And you as a musician, me as a musician, for me, like, so I sing and play guitar. There are ways that I can express the emotion through my voice in a melody that I wouldn't even know how to begin to find that word. You know, in a piano, like the crescendo or the gentleness, the tenderness. And I think that this is the best thing we do as human beings, is the expression of what moves us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of people that dance and art and all of these things. Yeah, I'm very kinesthetic too. I've got to jump around every now and then, right?
Me too.
Okay, I sat long enough. I got to jump around. That's how
me too. I'm a kinesthetic learner. I actually had a lot of problem learning in regular school because I learn with my body and by doing, and I grew up dancing. So I totally agree with you. And what one of the things I've found is that I could sit for hours and not have an idea about what to write or what to do with the workshop. And I walk a lot, like 5-6 miles a day. That's how I meditate. 10 steps into a walk, 10 steps. I've got the whole workshop. I know what to do with the poem, right? So for me, it's like that movement kind of drops me into an inner stillness and a focus where then what's here becomes accessible.
Yes. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that works. Also, you point out in your book, and you know, and I've thought about this a lot. There's such a strong connection between. Okay, I need to write something. It's like, okay, let's write. Let's journal. Let's do this thing. And there's almost this resistance. Like, if I pick up the pen, then what will happen? And almost like, you know, because I believe in journaling and writing and all this stuff, and I'll have people go, oh, we'll do anything but that, Loretta. It's too connected, too intimate, too whatever. I'm gonna let you talk about it because you're the poet.
So interesting. I really love you bringing the underbelly in. Because there is that resistance that people have, and the doubt and the inner critic. And my approach is two-prong. One, either kick them out and lock the door or invite them to tea and figure out what their favorite cookie is, you know, and invite them to tea and sit down and have a conversation with the critic, with the resistance, with the doubt. Making room for all of who we are be here with us in the intimacy, even when we're resistant, you know? So it's like, well, hello, resistance. And this could be out loud. This could be writing it. Hello, resistance. I get it. I understand. But I was just wondering if you want to say something to me. Is there something that you could want to share with me? Do you have a problem with me? Is there something we need to work out here? And then I would like to tell you how I feel. And and resistance, doubt, and inner critic, you're welcome here, right? It's not a power struggle.
Yes.
You are welcome at my
Yeah.
table. Also, you are part of me, and all of me is welcome. I think that's the really big piece that I invite people into with this work, whether you work with the book or come to workshop. All of you is welcome. This is how we come to wholeness. This is how we heal, by making room for our fear, our anger, our sorrow, our longing, our hot mess, our doubt, our resistance, our beauty, our bravery, our brilliance, our desire, our longing for love and connection. Bring it all to the page. And then the page becomes a mirror. Oh, this is what I'm going through. This is who I am. This is what's happening. How can I hold myself with greater kindness, curiosity, compassion? Yeah,
there's so much. It's rich. It's deep. I might be putting you on the spot with this question, but I'm curious, do you have anything that you have written about that time, that transition from, I'm going to say, before poetry found you to poetry, you know, because you indicate it saved you in some manner. Is there, do you have something you could share from that time? And if that's putting you on the spot too much, let me know. Yeah.
You know, if you'd like, I'll read a poem that is in the new book.
Okay.
And I think it really speaks to what you're asking.
Okay.
And it's called Tell It to the River.
Okay.
And I'm just looking for it. Give me one second.
Yeah. Thank you. I didn't. Give,
yeah.
I'm letting the audience know I did not give her any warning. I'm spontaneous, as you can see, and we just go with the flow.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And
yeah.
And I usually have this one queued up, so I apologize. And it's not popping right up. So just give me one second.
Yeah, we'll give you a second. Yeah, for sure. While you're doing that, I will just remind people that this is Meredith Heller, and she is a poet, a songwriter, a singer, and all kinds of wonderful things. And she actually has a great website, right? Like, people have great websites. You can find her online, and you can actually take writing workshops online as well as in-person workshops. And I'm just going to say this. Sometimes you just run across somebody who, in my opinion, has the right spirit. And when you run across the real deal, she's the real deal. It's because she's gone through it herself, and she has created her own medicine from her heart. And that's how that works.
So. Oh, I love what you just said. I found the poem.
Yeah. Okay,
I love
good.
What you just said, that I and others have created our own medicine from our heart. I feel like that is so beautiful. There's your poetry.
Yeah.
And it is, we create our own life elixirs in our hearts from where we got broken open.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to come back to that with you. Okay. So this is called Tell It to the River. It's slightly long, but it really encapsulates. Okay. So I'm going to just dive in. Tell It to the River. The barn on Travilla Road, along the Potomac River in Maryland, where I made a home at 13, slept on the floor with an old sleeping bag from Salvation Army, hung a torn lace curtain in the window where the glass had long been broken. I ate stale rye bread from the trash, spent my quarters on a tin of Medaglia d'Oro coffee, dark and sweet, like the beekeeper boy I kissed behind the hive for a jar of local honey, my skin buzzing, tell it to the river. I was 15, living in a log cabin in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Virginia. No electricity, no running water, with Willie, 28, who kicked around in a pair of red Converse high tops, pinned me to the hood of his station wagon, and held his hand over my mouth so no one would hear me scream, "Tell it to the river." I made bracelets from copperhead snakes I found dead on the road, taught myself to tan their skins by slicing them open, scooping out their guts. Once I found a baby bird inside, once a handful of fleshy eggs. I'd nail the skins to a wooden board, salt them, and leave them to dry in the sun, cut the skin into strips, sew them around a piece of rope attached to a tube of beads I made in a pattern called peyote stitch I learned from the women on the Navajo reservation. I'd sell them in town for $20, which was a lot of food money back then. Tell it to the river. The boy I met one summer, whose skin was made of cinnamon sticks, who sat all day at the water's edge, singing in a language no one knew but me. We watched the water braid the light in helixes. We made love in a circle of pines under a full moon, and 3 days later we found his body, suicide. I crawled inside myself and didn't speak for many months when I was a teen on my own, trading my sex for survival, my love for belonging. Tell it to the river. My friend Annalise, 88-year-old Swiss artist who simply is not old. She is tiny and strong and determined as a beetle, hands constantly making things come to life, paper and glass, paint and clay. She keeps bees, feeds the raccoons, cheats at cards, cusses worse than I do when she loses, yodels expertly, and rides downhill every morning on her kick scooter to swim in the pool. She was my first true friend. She found me when I was a lone wolf, my skin chewed raw, my fur full of sparks. Slowly she shaped me like one of her clay pots into a human being with space inside for homemade soup. Tell it to the river. To all the bards along my path who wonder where I go when I go, who know me as the wolf-hearted woman with one eye dark and one eye bright, one eye that looks inward, one that looks out, one that draws you closer while the other pushes you away, tell it to the river. The way the water loosens my hinges, turns my blood to opals, throws herself against me, purring like some wild beast. I rest my head against her chest and listen to her heartbeat. Yes, now. Yes, now. The sun climbs the ridge in the morning, and we howl together because it's good to be alive and say so. Tell it to the river.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. 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 Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I'm going to let people soak that up. We're going to take a little station break, and from my heart to yours, thank you for sharing that. That was great. My guest today, Meredith Heller. She is obviously a poet, an author, and all kinds of good things. This is Loretta Brown. We're talking about poetry therapy. That's what we're doing. And so don't go away. Please come back. We got lots more to talk about, and especially how this can help you. We'll be right back.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Is your eyesight changing?
I can't read this anymore.
Don't lose hope. People just like you are working every day using Braille, screen magnification, speech technology, and other tools and blindness skills. Your eyesight may have changed, but your goals, they don't have to. We can help. Visit us on the web at blind.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thanks. Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show. And there's always time for a dance break, in case you wondered. Thank you, Benny. You're the best. And my guest today is Meredith Heller. I want to remind you that these shows are archived. You can download them and re-listen to them over and over. We are at the KKNW 1150 archives for the original Loretta Brown Show. We're also, of course, on YouTube. If you're watching it, hello. And we're on iTunes, Podcast One, Spotify X, Megaphone, Audible. We're all over the place. So be sure to go back. And there's hundreds of shows. I've been on the air for years and years. Then there'll be much more to come. So anyway, we are talking about poetry. And Meredith, it's a big question. What is poetry?
Well, let me start by saying, okay, so when I ask adults what poetry is, they say such great things. They say it's something that has a rhythm. It's a way of saying things slant. There's meter, maybe it rhymes, and they say really great things like that. But when I ask kids, what is poetry? They say feelings. Boom. They nail it. Poetry is about feelings. I believe, I would say all creative expression, music, dance, art, poetry comes from feeling, comes from emotion we then need, have this urge to express. So I'll start with that. These days, I'm using poetry as an umbrella term to hold space for this kind of deep, personal, self-reflective, expressive writing that allows us to slow down from the insane pace of the world and make time and space to be present with ourselves and our experience. So it's always this invitation and this inquiry, what's bubbling up in me, in my belly, in my heart, right here and right now? And how do I give my attention? How do I tend to it with kindness, with curiosity, with courage? And in the kind of writing that you'll do with my book, or if you come to workshop, all forms of writing are welcome. Poetry, prose, story, mind spill, heart spill, song lyrics, make up your own form, just write. And as you start writing more and more, you become more fluent in the process of trusting your creativity, trusting yourself, getting comfortable with this reflective process of being totally honest with yourself. And that's one of the joys, like things that you might not be able to say in the world or to certain people. You can say that in the writing. You can be totally honest. Nobody else has to read it. You can tear it up. You can burn it. A place you can be totally honest. That's rare. And that's a refuge. And it nourishes us.
Yeah, I'm sitting with this idea that it's feelings. And I know that, you know, lots of times when I'm working with people or talking with them and I'll say, what are you feeling? They don't know, or they don't know how to express it.
Yeah.
Or kind of like what we were talking about before, there's all these preconceived ideas that you have to show up a certain way if you're going to write.
Yeah.
Right. But I am going back to something that I said earlier, and I'm sure that you deal with this in your workshops, but that let me figure out how to ask this. I'm very aware right now that people are finding their voice, and the feminine is finding her voice. And in the process of finding the voice, sometimes we start out where we have no voice, and then we've got too much voice, you know, and then that pendulum goes back and forth. But I'm also thinking about, like, for instance, I just opened your book because, and I'm weaving this all together, you'll get it. You know, you write, you have such great little chapters here, and then you have these exercises, and you'll have this, like, right now, you know, like W-R-I-T, right now. And I just opened up, and it was like, write about the body part that has called for your attention and care, right? And I'm really digging into here about how what this does for us when we begin to find our voice, or we give voice. I think you hear what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the points that you're making are really good. We have been so conditioned out of knowing what we feel for ourselves and being true to what we feel. We're supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to say this way or sound this way. And so much of what we do in my workshops, what we're doing, I think, like you're saying, in the world as a whole, and this coming into ourselves as women. And if you follow along with the book, is two things at least. One, knowing your own voice, really learning, becoming fluent in knowing how to tune into what you feel, what you really feel. And there's such a distinction to ask, what are you feeling? What are you really feeling? And we can ask that to ourselves and then be honest in our writing. And so a lot of those exercises and invitations in the book, especially the body mindfulness sections, ask you, take you on a guided meditation journey to tune in. What's happening in my body? What do I really feel? What's bubbling up in my belly? What is that about? An inquiry. What's popping up for me through deep psyche? What metaphors are surfacing? If you have a muse or angels or guides who help you. So taking the time and making the space to really tune in, to know what we feel. That's the part one. Part two, the expressing. And then, like you were saying, we often go from not having a voice to having a lot of voice. I always tell the story when I was learning to say no. It was like, yes, no. And now it's like, nope. No, thank you. Right? And so learning to express ourselves and then learning what our authentic voice is. And we do that out loud, too. When we're writing in workshop, we always share our pieces. And sometimes a woman will share her piece, and I'll say, okay, that was fabulous. Could you now close your eyes and say those two lines again with your hand on your belly? And then they do that and they feel, you can feel where they own and claim their own power, their own agency, their own deep wisdom. And when we come from this place, sovereignty, yeah, nourishment, trust in ourselves. And women say they walk the workshop into their lives. Mm-hmm. They take that way of knowing themselves and they walk it into their lives. I know when I have a yes, I know when I have a no. I know myself.
I love that you're hitting right on what I was wanting to pull out.
Okay,
because it's that life-changing thing. And also I'm sitting with what it is like for these women to write at your workshop and then read it out loud. Big thing, big stuff.
Oh, it's big. Yeah.
It's big stuff.
And we all have different experiences. For some people that's exciting. For some people that's terrifying. And again, all of it's welcome. You know, like I say, when you share your piece and your heart beats going fast and your face flushes and your breath, I said, oh, great. That means you're alive. Bring that too. You know, like I used to perform singing and songwriting on stage, and I was terrified for years. I mean, 20 years, I was terrified. And finally, one day I was about to go on stage and I imagined my fear as a person next to me. And I took her hand and I said, come with me. You're part of this too. And she came with me and it changed everything, because instead of having all the energy I needed to push away the fear, she became part of me and it made me more human.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to be human. I'm allowed to be alive. I'm allowed to be here.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I think you're already answering this question, but what are some of the transformations you've seen in your students?
Huge. I mean, people come in the midst of every kind of transition you can imagine. And this is what they learn: how to listen to themselves and to melt down the conditioning that tells us who to be and how to be and why to be, and to really become true to ourselves. And from this place, everything changes. Our relationship with ourself has changed, where we listen and we don't always get it right. We keep making the mistakes, but we learn to see them and correct course. And then we also have this template. What does it feel like when I'm true to myself? Ooh, for me, there's nothing like it. That is the best show on earth. Being true to myself. Wow. Because the other side, the betrayal, of my own truth, is the deepest wounding that I have.
That's exactly right. I have this beautiful image of you leading people into their light, into the light and into their light. But yeah, we spend so much time working with that, not who I am, that betrayal, or trying to be something that we think other people think we should be, that, to be able to come into your own. I think it's just so powerful. It's so beautiful. You know, it's so wonderful. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. It really births this self-respect and dignity.
Yeah. Dignity. Very well said.
Because it includes when we weren't that way. And it's not as if we suddenly shift. Oh, now I got all my shit together. You know, it's not like that. It's like my whole journey is part of me. And I'm willing to pause and listen in with respect, self-respect and self-valuing for who I've been and what I've been through, yeah. to then come from my truth to be real with you or whomever. And I think this is when our lives as people, and especially as women, begins.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's beautifully said. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you're so on time. You're so timely.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're on the show today. It's perfect timing. Oh, perfect timing. Beautiful energy. Yeah.
I'm so happy to be with you here today too. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
It's wonderful. It's really great. What is the great undoing?
Mm.
What does it have to do with writing?
Yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Plus what you started when you were doing the astrological part of the show, when you talked about giving yourselves 3 years in bed to rest.
Yeah.
I thought, sign me up, please, especially after the book launch. It's exactly what I need.
Yeah.
So two pieces, at least. One being this undoing, this melting of the old conditioning, patterns, armor, ways of being shaped and imprinted by the conditioning of our society, our culture, our family, our wounds, our trauma. Beginning to allow this to melt down, and then seeing what the deeper essence of us really is, looking at it with curiosity and kindness. Who am I? What really matters to me? What do I really care about? What do I really love in this life? And how do I point the compass of my heart in that direction? Rather than fitting into a place in the machine where mm-hmm. I'm productive mm-hmm. in a mm-hmm. certain way and maybe somebody else's ideal. So it's coming back into true with self. That's part of the undoing. The other piece is the making room for the not doing, the fallow time, which is part of the wholeness of the cycle of everything that is living, of which we are part. And in our culture and our society, there is no downtime. We're not allowed to rest, to do nothing. And it is in that downtime, that undoingness, the not doing, what I like to call the dream time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where everything new is birthed. The fertile darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's the place. Mm-hmm. For sure. Tell us a little bit more about these workshops that you do, either online or in person. And tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. So the workshops are my absolute passion. The book came out of the workshops. And so we gather, each series runs for 5 weeks on Zoom. You meet once a week with the same cohort through the 5 week series. We bond with the cohort. We have so much fun. We laugh, we cry together, we celebrate each other, we encourage each other. We really get to know each other as souls. And two really amazing things happen in workshop. One, we tune into the commonality of our human experience. We all tend to have, as human beings, the same needs, desires, longings, fears, loves, dreams. So we learn that we're not alone by sharing our story and listening to other people's stories. Paradoxically, we learn that our story is unique, and the way that we've navigated with who we are is unique and it matters. We matter. Our voice matters. And our engagement and contribution and weaving who we are uniquely into the whole community of life matters. So both of these things happen in workshop. It is so beautiful. It is so humbling and exciting. I have chills just telling you about it. And it's just amazing. And the poems that come out of workshop are mind-blowing, heart-opening, like blow you away. Wow. So we meet once a week for 5-week series, take 2 weeks off to give people a breather, to let me create the next workshop. Like right now we're in Spark the Muse. We have one more week, then we've got 2 weeks off. And then the next workshop starts the middle of April. It starts April 16th, and it's called Love Warrior. Wage love. Times of wild chaos require wild love.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's this
right in the middle of the eclipse season.
Right. Exactly. How do we align with, come into true in our own heart, and then direct the point of our compass to what we truly love so that we're nourished and resourced? And from that place, we offer who we are. Yeah. And so we go this way through the whole year.
Yeah. So where do people sign up for those? And you say 5 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 5 weeks on, 2 weeks off, all year round.
All year round through the whole year, including the summer.
These are Zoom?
These are Zoom workshops.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Good.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now I have 5 cohorts, and MeredithHeller.com, that's my website. That's where all the information is. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, but all the workshop information, MeredithHeller.com. And you can always email me through there. I'm very communicative. I love to tell people about the work and invite them in. And just to know that the women in these workshops are warm-hearted, welcoming, inspirited, willing to show up each week, dig deep to find their treasure.
Yeah.
Which revitalizes our lives, our passion, our purpose, our sense of community. The workshops got born during the pandemic when we were all so isolated. And I created these workshops to give us a sense of community and connection, and they blossomed. And we now have women, because we're on Zoom, we have women all over the country and a few from around the world.
That's great.
It's so
wonderful. So we're down to like the last 30 seconds, less than a minute. I want to remind listeners, you do not need to be a poet or a writer to attend Meredith's workshop. Just show up. You will be just fine. You can tell that you're in good hands with her. She has a great heart. So final words in the last, 20 seconds or whatever it is.
Put your pen to paper. It's a doorway. Writing is a path home to self, to love, to being in true with yourself. Your pen is the magic wand. Put it to the paper. Open the door. Meet yourself. Fall in love with yourself and your life.
I love the pen being the magic wand. I love that. They should all look like magic wands. The pen is mightier than the sword.
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Woohoo! I love that. Meredith Heller, what a joy and delight to have you on the show today. Writing by heart. Yeah, by heart. If you do it by heart, it's deep. A poetry path to healing and self-discovery. And please go back and listen to the show again and connect with Meredith on MeredithHeller.com. And oh my goodness, have fun in the lunar eclipse coming up on Monday. And I hope to see everybody next week. This is Loretta Brown. Lots of love. Thank you so much.